Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome again, dear listening audience, to another live broadcasting of Keeping It Real. I am your host, Princess Karima Aziz, and I will be hosting another broadcast of Keeping It Real as we talk about and discuss and share information and learning on mental health maintenance. I beseech the audience to help me come up with a different term that's more palatable, but that's where we are. What I found, and before I go into the show, I want to start with the formalities. You're listening to Keep It Real. Every week we're here talking about, in a Keep It Real fashion, about the things that are as it relates to rebuilding the family and rebuilding leadership in our community. So we take a Keep It Real approach to that. I first and foremost would like to say that I believe and know in my heart, in my mind and soul, that there is no God worthy of worship save Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get right into the show. We've got right at 60 minutes to talk, share, and learn, if you will. So in the weeks past, we've been talking about executive functioning as one of, or we've been talking, the question that was posed to those invited to listen to the show is what is the most prevalent, yet most undiagnosed mental health maintenance issue, I want to say. I want to refrain from using the word mental illness because that's not going to help us. We need to use language that's going to activate us to maintain or look for to heal and maintain our mental illness without the, mental health, without the blockage that the stereotypes. And we know what those stereotypes are. I'm speaking to all of the listening audience, but I'm coming from a specific point as it relates to the descendants of chattel slavery. And why that direction or why in that, from that point of view? Well, because specifically us, we've not taken the time and have not been given adequate privilege to take the time to maintain, to assess and maintain our mental health, if you will. So if you imagine being enslaved for 400 years and then you're set free, there's some things that you need to remove, some processes or operating systems that are in your mind or how you've indoctrinated your culture or what you believe about yourself and your family, even down to the way you discipline. All of that is under someone else's governance and control, and for their benefit. So as we transition from being mastered by others and then freed physically, there is now the opportunity for us to take advantage of a privilege to work on mastering ourselves. And the mastering of ourselves is going to lead us to the other end of self-mastery, which is, of slavery, which is self-mastery. And so that journey through freedom is where we are going to get all of the lessons that that Allah has sent for us in maintaining or assessing and maintaining our mental health. I recognize that in my studying, I learned that can actually see a map of the mind, or even if you quote unquote the map of the human soul in studying Allah's word. And so that's where we are right now. We're using this map to understand how the mind of the human being works, to destigmatize our responsibility in actively maintaining our mental health, and to unlearn some things that continue to perpetuate generational curses. And when I say that, I mean, we'll talk about what I mean by that. It'll be glaringly clear what I mean by that. Certain ideas and understandings that we have prior to becoming Muslim, or if you're listening and you're of Christian belief, there's some misunderstandings that we got simply because we were exposed to the information written in the Bible in a way that would always yield us being under the control of someone else. So this introduction or using the Bible as a resource to navigate your mind and navigate your soul, it's not popular, not even in speaking to Christians. Most Christians, I've not been able to have a conversation where we can see this message being left for us clearly as a message of how we maintain our mental, our mind, our soul, if you will. In Islam, the language isn't mind and mental health maintenance. The language is purification of the soul. So for those of us that are Muslims, we're going to be talking about and purification of the soul. Moving forward, that's what we're going to be. I want us to think it's purification of the soul. I also want to want us to see that the simplicity of the information as it relates to purification of our soul in Quran is a blessing of from Allah to mankind. And if we are looking, it's easy to find. And so most of us are not looking and we're not seeking because I don't know. But when you get to a point, and those of us that are on that journey of maintaining their mental health or at slash purifying their soul, there's just some truths that become self-evident. So getting into today's topic of discussion, we're still talking about executive functioning and correcting executive dysfunctioning. Executive functioning, when you hear about it, when we hear about it as an issue, it's under the umbrella of what psychiatrists call today attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder. I don't know how I feel about that or how to even, I don't know how I feel. The reason why I said I don't know how I feel about the label is because I don't know if I fully accept it as a quote-unquote disorder. I think it's a, I recognize that it is a way in which your brain learns to operate under stress, under extreme stress. It actually rebirths or reactivates in a primitive brain that you have, living in a space where you're in a constant fear. That part of your brain is the part that you operate out of, your cultures come out of, the things that you eat, the way that you dress, and then imagine you've now been set free and there's a whole vast of land that you've not explored. If you can imagine that land being your mind, you know the mind of servitude to others. You've been there for 400 years. But that mind in the land of being free and having the not only the privilege but the responsibility of learning how to purify your soul slash maintain your mental health. And that ties directly into the foundation of the show in reconstructing parenting. Parenting and leadership. If we're going to reconstruct parenting, we're really gonna have to be serious about healing ourselves. And so we're talking about the adults here. We're talking about the parents from the parents' perspective, and from the parent that needs healing, the parent that is recovering from trauma. Parent that's learning they have trauma that they need to recover from in order to be the best parent and or leader of the community. So with that being said, also for any of us that are listening, if you want to share anything or have questions that you want to want clarification, press 1 and we will start an exchange, if you will. I want to paint the picture, thinking about these concepts. This is in your mind. It's in your mind. So when we read, and I do have resources and references from Bible and Quran that speak to executive functions. And it speaks to executive dysfunctioning. And it speaks to the prescription. We have a caller. I'm going to go ahead and take the first caller of the day. We have 718-806. Assalamu alaikum. Good evening. Thank you for joining us. What would you want to share, ask, or contribute tonight?
Well, alaikum assalam. My name is Lasay. I have a lot of experience with mental health. I found out through studying it that it's heredity. And I used to have really heavy mood swings, NAB, sort of like even manic, but it's about 7 years ago that I started taking medication for it. Because prior to that, I had my highs and lows, and then I do things that really foolish and end up having to go to jail from 1 to 40 days. That's when I was in Chicago. In Chicago, they take you to jail. In New York City, they take you to the hospital. But in Chicago, they take you to jail. And now that I have medication, I function much, much better. I have what's called schizoaffective. When I first got mental illness, it was real terrible. I was in pain, mental pain, excruciating mental pain. Then it would switch over to the manic for 7 days and eight days. Mental pain, it was back and forth, back and forth. But right now, I'm pretty steady, and it's real. I hear you talk about it goes back to slavery and that time in which we were free from slavery, but we were not given any kind of therapy to rectify the problems that we brought from slavery. Well, by the grace of God, there are good medications that will help stabilize a person that is going through traumatic affairs in terms of doing things that are not normal. So that's just what I wanted to say. And I may Lord bless you, sister, in guiding this program and enhancing your ability to be inspired so you say things that would uplift and help bring people into a state of mental health. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for your contribution, Brother Lachey. I thank you for sharing. And, oh, wow, Allah, oh, my gosh. Alhamdulillah, I too have something that I wanted to share and I was a little apprehensive about, but you answered for me the question I posed to Allah of should I share. And I think it's important, and because I think it's significant, if you will. But yeah, this thing about executive functioning, every human being does have some struggles at one point or another in their lives with the executive functioning. We know that as it relates to our community, this is its most prevalent and most ignored. And it is labeled or mislabeled something else. We'll say, I'll give you an example. I'm not, my generation growing up, there was not the diagnosis of ADD, ADHD. We didn't have that kind of, or even autism, those diagnoses or medicine or psychiatry dealing directly with that syndrome of symptoms, if you will, especially as it relates to people of color. We just have never had it. We never had it. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not responsible. So, alhamdulillah, we're into 2023 and time has changed and we now have the privilege and we can exercise, we have the responsibility always, we can exercise the privilege of undoing or healing the harm so that we can produce healed beings of our future. And so that goes to now the answer that someone asked, what is therapy? And before my exposure to therapy, I too had that same question. And it took me 30 years to get to the place where I believed in therapy because it was necessary. It was like do or die. You know, something is amiss here. Something is awry here, princess. And so, and it's anxiety. I was dealing with extreme anxiety and I decided to revisit this idea of going to therapy, but it took me 30 years. And what took me 30 years? I had to undo the perception and the stereotype and the prejudice. I didn't know that. That was stopping me from actually being in therapy or receiving therapy or getting therapy or seeking therapy. I remember the first time it was introduced to me, my cousin, she was seeing a therapist. The idea was so new to me that I chuckled. What are you seeing a therapist for? I'm young, 20-something. I laughed. She said to me very, very assertively, she said, I think that everyone should see therapy so they can understand how things work. Verbatim, I never forgot that sentence to this day. And so what I've come to understand also in learning how things work. These things that we're talking about in learning how things work, things in your mind, how things work with you, how things work with your family, and how things work in your community. You're going to get to the community. The therapist will not even actually lead you there. You're going to see the vision yourself. When you get the vision of how things work with you and how your family has influenced how things work with you and how they, too, have their own wounds to heal. So therapy allows you, well, I have this thing. I am asking Allah to help me create the greatest version of myself. And so that's my affirmation is I wake up every morning and my goal is to do something or participate in creating the greatest version of myself. And I'm learning that the greatest version of myself doesn't necessarily look like a version of me that is without blemish or imperfect. And in fact, the greatest version of myself is that part, is the version of me that goes to the places that are wounded and love those places, the places where I'm not the most, where I'm not the best, or I may be the youngest, or I may be hurt, to love those bad parts, if you will. Those bad parts of you need to be loved and feel safe. And so we're facilitating that. That's what we're doing. We're going to, how do you do that? How do you produce a healthy, help facilitate the parenting of a child to be healthy? To be healthy. If you yourself are from a wounded space and a wounded place, then you can't facilitate that for the child or for the mentoree. You will respond from your triggers, and you will then continue to pass on a wound for wound for wound from person to person to person, you know, to the mothers, to the fathers. If we don't heal ourselves, we will continue to operate out of a place of pain. And our children can pick that up. And they, because they operate on vibration sound, they will pick up being accustomed. They will become accustomed to that vibration that they grew up in. So if your folks, if your family was chaotic, if there were many other things, we don't want to get off on. There are many places that we're going to talk about, but if you get what I'm saying, that the environment that you grew up in and your mother and mother's mother grew up in contributes to where you are right now today, specifically in your executive functioning. And here is the most significant part about executive functioning that I want to share, that I learned, that how you function executively is 90% trans, 90% you get that from your family, 10% perhaps the environment. So going back to the information in the body keeping the score, stress and fear is passed down genetically. And if you think about it like this, it has to be passed down genetically because that, let me take a break. I want to make executive problems with executive functioning comes when you are consistently operating out of a place of survival. When you are operating only in survival mode and not in thriving mode. It's normal for your brain or for your brain to operate the way it operates when it feels like it's being threatened. However, when the threat is not there and you're still operating out of survival mode, now you've got problems in executive functioning because you've not changed the, what's the word, the software, or sometimes the operating system, if we want to use the analogy of a computer. So in destigmatizing mental maintenance or purifying the soul, it's normal. It's in you. Whatever, I mean, the problem in executive functioning is natural to have to deal with. It's not natural to ignore. Allah does not want you to ignore the issues in executive functioning. He wants you to pay attention to that. And I'm also learning, we're learning, that those adjustments in your executive functioning are directly related to the growth and development that he brings you degree through degree after degree after degree. Your function, the way you function executively will change. It's all related, if you will. It's all related. And I, 3:25, I'm going to go ahead and take the first break of the break. But I come back, and I want to share with those that are listening an uncommon example of executive functioning or dysfunctioning in scripture, if you will. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Keeping It Real, and we're learning how to purify our soul and maintain our mental health. Stay with us.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dapreeta Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
And we're back. Thank you again for listening to tuning in today and sharing. Let's move on. I want to go ahead and recap what the definition of executive function is, because I see we might have people on that are new here today. So executive function. I want to get the word. Okay, so executive functioning, there's the functioning in your brain. I want to, keep bear with me for a minute. I want to give a definition that's very easy to understand. And I have the definition of dysfunctioning, but I want to start with the best definition. Okay, so executive functioning, it's a phrase that refers to a set of skills that you need in order to carry out higher capacity jobs, science. Themes, if you will. Forgive me, it's running slow. So what is executive functioning and how does it relate to, we're talking to the adults, so this article speaks to how it relates to child development, but we're going to be talking about executive functioning on how we can address ourselves and be accountable for ourselves. Before I read this, I also recognize in my studying the history of executive dysfunctioning, even in 2023, we don't have information that's specific to people of color, specific to people in our culture, and we're just getting information outside of children. So we recognize this syndrome, and we were addressing it tenaciously for children. And no one stop to ask the question, if the children are having issues with this executive dysfunction, where did it begin? And why are we not assessing the parents? And from what I've come to understand about when it becomes a disorder that needs therapy and medication, 9.9 times out of 10, you should extend that same treatment to the parents. This is just an example of the body keeping the score down to the genetics. My stress is passed on to my children in my genes. Even if I give her a safe space to develop, she has still in her genes the propensity to resort back to functioning as her primitive self. Or a primitive, and what I mean by primitive is the self before yourself before you evolve in critical thinking. You evolve in it's the critical thinking that's a part, and in the individual independent critical thinking that's most significant, if you will. So executive function refers to a set of skills, and these skills underlie the capacity to plan ahead, meet goals, display self-control, follow multiple-step directions even when interrupted, and stay focused despite distractions among us others. I want you to hear this in relation to African-American people who were in chattel slavery. Practicing independent executive functioning was nothing we had the privilege to do. And in fact, we are discouraged from functioning, having our independently functioning, having executive functioning that's independent of what our masters would want us to do, if you will. So this, how many years we've been post chattel slavery, I want us to really ask the question and maybe do the research. Have we done the work needed to heal from the wounds of 400 years of chattel slavery in order that we may change our DNA so we change what's expressed and we have a direct impact on the development of our children being healthy? And we've done what we can possibly do to produce healthy children. So the work starts with you. It starts with us. They were starting, psychiatrists are starting first with helping the children overcome executive dysfunction. However, if you don't address the parents who are, I see what they're doing. I can see that they're starting with the children, and inshallah, those children will produce healthier children, therefore, moving forward. But what about the population of adults right now who are having a major influence on how things are run? So getting to the point, executive dysfunction is, you know, how does that look when, how does it look to, in our community? And I'll give an example. And this isn't so far ago. This is when I was in school. Someone who would display an executive dysfunctioning, issues with executive functioning in school, they are labeled as bad. If they're, and most often our little boys are labeled as hyperactive. They're labeled as easily distracted. But most often when we have to deal with this as a parent at home, our children need more discipline, and we give more discipline in an attempt to correct the issues of executive functioning. Dysfunctioning. I want us to see how counterintuitive that is, counterproductive. If I'm using the same methods that cause you the dysfunction, how are you going to recover from the dysfunction? 400 years of chattel slavery, including corporal punishment. You're not going to recover from it. You're not ever going to be in a place where you transition from surviving to thriving. Your body will not allow you to. your body just won't allow you to. It won't allow you to. And Brother Lachey that called, that shared with us his journey as well with maintaining his mental health. Thank you so much for sharing and having the courage to share. We don't, in our community, we don't do that enough. And we're in our infancy stage of putting, of indoctrinating a new way of rearing our children outside or away from the influence of chattel slavery. We're still in the infancy. And why is that? I'll ask a question to the board, to those that are listening. If I were to, if someone says to you, when you hear the term or the phrase, spare the rod, spoil the child, if anyone wants to share what they think that phrase, what that means, press one and share with us what you think it means when you're told to spare, when you hear the terms, the phrase spare the rod, spoil the child. If anyone wants to share, if not, I'll go on. Oh, okay, I'm doing it. I believe this is, Assalamu alaikum. I do believe that this is Imam Kareem from St. Louis, Missouri.
Yes, it is. Assalamu alaikum to everyone. Praise be to Allah. And the phrase you just used is a phrase that has been really, really, truly propagated and expressed, but without proper definition.
Right.
Spare the rod, spoil the child. You know, first off, as parents, we are like shepherds. We're like shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
And based upon earlier depiction of a shepherd tending the sheep or cattle or whatever,
mm-hmm.
the shepherd had what has a rod in his hand. And, you know, there's also a definition of a rod being a system of measurement, the rod is providing guidance and discipline, not beating someone. You're only placing fear within them. That is the only reason that they do what you say, because they fear being physically assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
But the rod is helping, beneficial, instruction, and encouragement. That's the rod, not beating our children. I've never seen a shepherd beating the sheep or beating
right.
his cattle. It's kind of like a prod. You know, when you prod something, you gently move it in the direction that you want it to go. I was prodded to go in this direction. That is a gentle application that gives me a sense of direction. And as I stated, a rod is also, it is very old word that used to be used as a system of measurement to give the proper value system in order to be able to properly weigh and measure a thing. So when we speak of executive function, as you were speaking, I'm one that recognize that words are really two words combined.
Mm-hmm.
Executive function. I got from out of that to execute a function or action. We may come up with some wonderful ideas, but don't have the capacity to execute those ideas, to execute freedom, here I come, to execute freedom effectively under the rule of responsibility. So as parents and us, many of us adults, we need, as you said, therapy. And sometimes people shun away from that, but therapy is no more than an exchange of information,
an exchange of ideas,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we are new to this freedom. Have we been given the proper rod of how to execute freedom in our executive function? So the negative words that we use toward each other, oh, you will never be nothing, and all of those negative connotations that we use toward our children and each other, that delays or hampers the executive function, the ability to plan and to execute whatever that plan is. So I just wanted to share that with you, you know, when I heard executive functioning. We speak of freedom. Like, I'm free, but we haven't been educated. We are moving on habit. And I'm so grateful that you mentioned genetic memory bank. A genetic memory bank within our genes that are passed not only just our physicality, but also our emotionality is contained within our genes. Like when a woman is pregnant, she should be kept in an environment that is peaceful, that is very soothing, words of affirmation, not a lot of noise, not a lot of arguing, not aberrant behavior, because that can affect the forming of the genetic life that is being formed inside of the parent. So I hope that we get a better definition of spare the rod, and spoil the child. If you do not pass on proper behavior, proper way of thinking, then that child will be spoiled. When I say spoiled, I don't mean crying all the time and all of that. I mean, but not being aware that there is an acceptable way of being and there is an unacceptable way of being. And we use the rod of judgment,
right,
as we nudge and gently prod our children in the right direction. And we ourselves, we have to execute that. That's on the parents. So I agree with you. The parent needs therapy also to have discussions like we're having now, because housed within them is the negative, traumatic experience of being denied and being seen as less than. So I'll stop right there, my sister. Mm-hmm. I intend to listen further, and you are definitely educating us. And so it's very important. You know, sometimes we shy away from what we call mental health. It is not a moral question. It's not a moral law. It is the state of our mind, how we've been formed through our emotions, occurrences, traumatic things that happen in our past. So I'll stop right there, my sister. But that executive function is very, very crucial. Thank you, my sister. Thank you, Lou. Thank you, Emil.
And something else I wanted to share, in addition to you saying or bringing us to recall that it's not a moral issue. It is a response it's a response. Did I just lose my thought? Not a moral issue. At any rate, I'm going to move forward. If it comes to me, I'll go ahead and share, because it was very, very, very meaningful in what we're talking about. I want us to continuously remember or mindful when we're talking about this is we're starting from the individual place. In order for me to heal that wounded child in me, when I see the phrase, spare the child, no, spare the rod, spoil the child. So I am the one that's told, that's given the advice on what to do with the rod, the child. I'm also the child. It's me, myself, and I. These compartments in my brain, these places in my mind, Allah details them right down to giving them characters and stories. In metaphorical, allegorical messages and stories. So then when I begin to look, I can say, wow, this is what I'm going to say. There is not one expression of personality or mental deviation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not detailed in Quran. And there's not one. When it relates to executive functioning and dysfunctioning, it's in Quran. We're going to talk about other deviations in mental functioning in the shows in the weeks to come. They're too in Quran. And the one that's most, disorder that there is no cure for, we'll talk about that. That too is in Quran.
Excuse me, Lou Princess. excuse me, but it sounds as though you are whispering. You know, the importance of what you're saying, and you drop the volume and started speaking. And I'm struggling to hear you. Thank you, my sister.
Thank you so much, and ma'am Kareem, thank you so much. I did begin to whisper, and alhamdulillah, I'm adjusting. I will adjust. I did begin to whisper. But there isn't a deviation in personality or expression in mental health that Allah does not detail in Quran, and that man hasn't captured in the Bible. There is not one personality disorder that's not captured. There's not one person, and I don't want to use the word disorder. Well, there is some ordering, that there's some things that need to be organized. So yeah, we are, and looking at the story of Moses, and if we are, as a people who have been just released from chattel slavery, one position to look at the story of Moses, but in your mind, releasing yourself from the slavery of idolatry. I say that with great gentleness, even to Muslims, because that thing of serving other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and and for example, serving your fears, serving others' shame. And so I'm not calling us idolaters. I suffer a lot, and please forgive me. However, we want to not ignore the message in that because we're Muslim. Oh, that's not us. We believe in Allah. No, there's something in your brain, a place in the way your mind operates where you need to see that. You need to see what really he's talking about when he talks about idolatry. We're not, and the inside part, where inside your mind is the idolatry? Have you put fear where it needs to be? And that's put away unless you're running for your life. It should not be running you. And that's an association that has not been checked. And that's okay that we haven't checked it, but we're checking it now. It's okay that we're wounded. We're healing now. It's okay that we didn't know it. We're learning now. Alhamdulillah. In God's speed, we're learning now. And we're going to be, and I want us to get to a place where it's a part of our culture. It's in us that we address the deviations as slight as we want them to be. Because right now they're major deviations. They're so major. The brother gave an example of, in New York, they send you to, they know the deviations. In New York, you go to a site, you receive therapy. In Chicago, you go to jail. That's how they're handling these deviations, if you will. But they don't. We want to get to also, I'm getting to the place where they don't run 5285. So I want them to get out of the space where I give them authority to run me and my thinking. And Allah says that in Quran. I'm going to find that scripture speaks to those that they. When we, I'm going to find it now. When I first heard this and was introduced to this, ayat in Quran, I thought it was about gossiping. Those that bring that speak about. Well, we got 7 minutes. I'm going to say this: when Allah speaks in Quran about when someone brings something to you that when you bring something to someone. Allah, let me calm down. Okay. The ayat says, loosely, I'm working to be respectful. If something comes to you that is challenging safety or brings you fear, they divulge it. So if something comes to you, if something is brought that is challenging fear, or that's bringing fear or challenging safety. What I'm hearing is when fear comes to you, and this scripture does speak directly to executive functioning, you don't even know how to categorize the information, challenge the information, check the information before you divulge it. It becomes immediately sent right out the brain without processing. And so Allah says the prescription is to check it, if you will. Astaghfirullah, Allah forgive me. I'm going to take the time because I have time to find that exact ayat in Quran. I think we're talking in Amisa. This is 4. That's where I've been this week. So also before we go, no, we don't have time to get into that, but alhamdulillah. Anisa 4, which is chapter 4 and 83. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. When there comes to them some matter touching safety or fear, they divulge it. They had only referred it to the messenger or to those charged with authority among them, the proper investigators would have tested it from them, and were it not for the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unto you, all but a few of you would have fallen into the clutches of Shaitan. When there comes to them, and I want us to think of it, imagine you inside your brain, and a thought comes to you, or an impulse comes to you, this is a primitive impulse and probably a primitive thought, because it's bringing you fear. It's making you think of your safety being in jeopardy. So something is being activated primitively here. And then what happens? You do what you should not do. You let it get out without processing it in your mind. It gets divulged. And Allah says, if they had referred it to the messenger, if you had sought, given some critical thinking, and you should have done this. This is what do we do in this case is what I want to share. Not that you should have done this, because that way of rearing yourself and rearing your children activates shame. So I'm not saying that we should have done this. Allah is telling us this is what we do now. So when a thought or an impulse comes to you, normally we should check it. If you can't do it, then there's an issue there. There's an issue. And praise be to Allah that we have therapists and medication to help us with these issues so that we can get to the part where we are checking and we are managing ourselves executively. We have three more minutes. I'll wait till next week to share the story of executive dysfunction. I got a couple of minutes. I can share it. This is an example. And I can, if you want proof or references on the foundation of why I believe, it's because I've been looking for all of the deviations in personality disorders, and I've yet to not find an example and a prescription. So the prescription, I want to come way more specific than we believe in Allah, because us believing in Allah means that we trust Allah on the prescription, and that prescription for many of us may be therapy and medication. But I want to give, we have one more minute, I do have time to read this. So I want to read from Luke in the Bible, the young Jesus. And when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town, Nazareth. And when the child grew and became strong, he was filled in. Wait, hold on. Am I reading from? Oh, my bad. Every year, every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of her. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. If you know about ADHD, you know. This rings bells. He stayed behind in Jerusalem, and they were unaware. They looked for him 3-4 days. They first thought that he was with them. He wasn't with them. I'm going to rush through this because we're nearing the end. But the demonstration of impulse control having to learn executive functioning from an example of dysfunctioning. And this wisdom is missed as a miss for many Christians because they've elevated Jesus to being God. So you can't see this message that as it relates to you and your brain if you see Jesus as God. It misses, you just can't see it. Anyway, we got 60 more minutes, 60 more seconds. I want to invite you all to come to stay on, and we're going to be listening to the Contemplations of Imam W.D. Muhammad with Michael Hameen and Imam Kareem. And do come back. Do continue to listen with us every Sunday. We'll be sharing and learning more about the mind that Allah gave the human being and how we can heal our own mind and be elevated to the highest level of human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called us to be. Assalamu alaikum and with love. Do come back. And the message for the week is remain unoffended and remain unoffended. Assalamu alaikum. Until next week,
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, praise is due to Almighty God Allah. I am Kareem Hamid, along with Michael Hamid and Sister Mahasan Abdul Salam. We host the Contemplations of Imam Waterfield Dean Muhammad here on American Muslim 360. Praise be to Allah. We share his insights, his logic, and especially the connection with Scripture, based upon Imam Muhammad sharing his thinking with us. And we want to draw from that instruction in a way in our personal and community lives. My beloved host that just left the air, praise be to Almighty God. It's almost like Allah plans. Well, yeah, he does. He Allah plans, and we know not. The subject matter that Imam Muhammad will share with us from the Ramadan session of 1993 in Little Rock, Arkansas. It somewhat addresses the previous broadcast that was just concluded. He is dealing with resurrection. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. I'll share with you the topics of this portion of his Ramadan session. The topics are, number one, what the Quran came with. Number two, Muhammad as a potential in man and the liberator to remove yoke. The third, the debate over Sunni and Shiites. Number four, the concept of Mujaddid. Number five, understanding Adam as a language. Number six, W.D. Farrar's work Among Us. Topic seven, Jesus and Muhammad together. Topic eight, Elijah Poole and Clara Evans. Topic 9, Taqwa and Fujur. Topic 10, Why Quran Revealed in Arabic. Topic 11, Ash-Shams, the Sun. And we look forward to him addressing those topics from his understanding and giving us a tafsir on those subject matters that we just mentioned. The Imam begins this Ramadan session, March 12, 1993, in Little Rock, Arkansas. And he says, this chapter, the 91st Quran, is titled, The Sun. And these are 10 verses on the soul. Our beloved sister, Lou Princess Aziz, she mentioned that we use the word like mental health, mental illness. And praise be to Allah, she has said that we need to retranslate that, to put that in another
the a form of identification. She mentioned it is the condition of the soul, of the soul. So Imam Muhammad is saying to us here, in the ninth chapter of the Quran, it is titled The Sun. And these are 10 verses on the soul. So here, the soul is likened to the sun. The sun as a symbol for the soul. Appears as though the sun awakes and goes to sleep, just like our soul, just like we do, our conscience in us. We wake up and get tired at night, and we retire and we go to sleep. We wake up, get up, and consciousness comes into us. We get up and wake up, and then we run the course of our day, and we get tired, begin to lose energy, and we retire. Man, over the many generations that we have existed on this earth, observing that sun rising and setting like that, has thought of it as God and thought of it also as his own consciousness awakening, going to sleep and awakening, awakening and going to sleep. So we notice that the Quran respects what was dear to man and that that was unbecoming, not fit for man to keep. It either deals with it or not. If it's a real ugly thing, a crime or sin, it ignores it. By that, I mean Allah ignores it or acknowledges it with very little acknowledgement or strongly acknowledges it. The Quran respects man. If it is something dear to man that can be accepted, it not only acknowledges it, but it gives a good place for it in the revelation, in the Quran. This is just one of the signs of the Quran, of God's last revelation, how it's so respectful of man. It respects man. It is so considerate of man, his likes and dislikes, his devotions, that he puts a lot into it. It is considerate of it. All of this just attests to the belief that Allah, in his mercy, is so kind and loving and giving, and that Allah created us for his mercy. He created us for his mercy. This is not mercy just in English, because mercy in English only conveys the idea of love and sympathy, or love and compassion. But this is more than that. That is the love and compassion is the essence of the word Rahmah. Rahmah, love, caring, and having compassion is the essence of the word. Although the real meaning is established in the way it's used in the context of the Quran. Word meaning by use. That's how meaning is given to words in our Quran. Meaning is given to words in the Quran by the way the word is used. That's how it is in English, too. We get a word, and sometimes that word has a meaning that is changed because the way... We get a word. And sometimes that word has a meaning that is changed because the way people use it is changed. Then, after a while, the meaning has changed, took on another meaning or more meaning. So that's the way words are in the Quran, too. Meanings are established by words because the way those words are used in the text. And of this word, Rahmah, God says he has shown mercy to his creatures, and he has given mercy to his creatures,
and created us for his mercy. So the word mercy then is more than just love and compassion, or caring and compassion, those sentiments. It refers to also how God has prepared for man, and then when man lost what God prepared for him, comes again and brings man into a situation where he can not only get what was prepared for him, but he gets a double portion of God's mercy. We have in the words Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, mercy in both words, and that's how I understand it, in double portion of his mercy. This idea is really established in the Quran, a double portion of his mercy. Indirectly addressing this, God is speaking to the tribe of Israel, the sons of Israel, reminding them of his favors and the punishment that they received before to bring them and endear them again to the purity of the revelation and to the real God, and hoping that they will be touched by the report of their own life and history and be drawn to the path of El Islam. Let me pause right here. In the Quran, it is so true, Allah reminds the children of Israel the many trials that they had to go through, the oppression and the suffering that they had experienced. Sometimes we'll be in our present situation or our present state of mind. And we will devolve into a negative position of thinking or feeling or way of being. And that can become your reality. But what Allah is reminding the Bani Israel, the tribe of Israel, what they had previously gone through. Sometimes we take a negative position of our present, but our present can be far better than our past for what we've come through, the trauma that we experienced. So it is beneficial, praise be to Allah, to look back, see where you came from, and acknowledge the positives in your life at this present time. Sometimes we are depressed because we have lost the memory of where we come from, of our humble beginnings, and that can negatively affect us. So we have to have a sense of our history, a sense of our beginnings, and what happened in the past, and then bring our minds forward, and you will see that we are in a better situation now than we was in our recent past. Okay. I see someone have pressed one on their phone. I want to open up their mic. Praise be to Allah. Area code 347-751. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Contemplations of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Alhamdulillah. Brother Kareem. Imam Kareem. This is Sister Mahasin Abdul.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you for seeing me press the one, because I'm so inspired by what you're sharing thus far with us. And the part that really speaks out to me caused me to write a brief poem I'm going to share called Alive. Wake, get up, wash up and pray up and come alive. That's it. So I was inspired by what you were sharing, the association of the chapter 91, the sun, Shams, and the 10 verses on the soul and its light, its being to the sun. Here's one of those first pairs, the soul and the sun, in terms of the context of our creation and our consciousness. Very beautiful. You spoke more about the meaning, being effective. Word meaning is determined by their use. And it took me to the concept or slogan we have popularized, saying that words make people. And to me, that automatically indicates that words create meaning, and the meaning of those words is what makes people. That's happened to us as we have surrendered to this transition from a former state of consciousness, as was our experience in the Nation of Islam, that early preparation. Imam, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, rahimahullah, called it the purification period, the cleanup period. He says, I'm here. I wasn't sent to teach you the religion of Islam. I was sent to orchestrate your cleanup period, your preparation and purification, bettering your ability to receive the new revelation that Allah wants to introduce to you. Alhamdulillah, that was his mercy. And lastly,
yes, ma'am. So well expressed.
Say that again.
I said that was so well expressed. Yes,
Alhamdulillah. So the last of it, and then I'll end, was the impression on my heart as you read about the Rahmah and the Rahim, you know, and how we understand the double proportion of Allah's mercy. You know that in the Quran, Allah says that he created and explaining the strategy of his revelation to the readers. He said he's created all things in pairs as an instructing sign. So out of every double portion of his mercy and his concept, there is an instructional force that we gain if we read and try to understand. So to me, that means that the existence of revelation will make a connection in our own life and history. Isn't that wonderful that the revelation which we just are in such awe about the words of Allah, that it has a specific and targeting connection with our personal life and history? There are things again, and we'll be drawn, we will be drawn, exposed to that, like a magnetic effect, to the path of Al-Islam. We can't see it, we can't hear it, but we have this feeling that it exists, something that's drawing forward, and it is the magnetic effect of the revelation of Allah. I'll stop right there. Thank you.
That's number nine. You know, we've been informed that when we are reading the Quran or the revealed word of God, you should be able to see yourself in the revelation.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to see yourself in the revelation. And what we've shared thus far, we see ourselves. The Imam says, yes, this idea is really established in the Quran. a double portion of his mercy, indirectly addressing this, God is speaking to the Bani Israel, the sons of Israel, reminding them of his favors and the punishment that they received before to bring them and endear them again to the purity of the revelation and to the real God, and hoping that they will be touched by the report of their own life and history and be drawn to the path of El-Islam. The Imam goes further. He said, and God says of them that they should recall that their enemy invaded their private life twice, wreaked havoc, great destruction on them. The second attack, the invasion upon them, was the mightiest one, mighty destruction. What is that? First is the one that takes away from us the tangible things. That's what man dreads. An invader will come and take his wealth, land from him, take away the tangible thing. But the greatest dread should be that the enemy will find a way into your mind, into your heart, and turn you away from the great favor of God. That is his greatest mercy, guidance, huda, because the guidance is what makes possible the resurrection of man. Not the resurrection, the illumination of man's soul, as we say of man's intellect, but it starts in the soul. We are going to leave from the shams in a few minutes. So it is wonderful how this ties right into the presentation that Luke Princess Aziz just gave. On keeping it real, talk about it. She had suggested that we not use the word mental illness. No, the health of the soul, and we had no way of knowing that the Imam's subject matter would be on the same thing. Okay. Where did I leave? Okay. That his greatest mercy, guidance, huda, because the guidance is what makes possible the resurrection of man, not the resurrection, the illumination of man's soul. As we say, I'm hearing some background. I'm going to mute you, Mahasin. Okay. Yes, praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. I'll begin the reading once more. And God says of them that they should recall that their enemy invaded their private life twice, wreaked havoc, great destruction on them. The second attack, or invasion upon them, was the mightiest one, the mighty destruction. What is that? First is the one that takes away from us the tangible things. That's what man dreads. An invader will come and take his wealth, land from him, take away the tangible things. But the greatest dread should be that the enemy will find a way into your mind, into your heart, and turn you away from the great favor of God. That is his greatest mercy, guidance, huda, because the guidance is what makes possible the resurrection of man, not the resurrection, the illumination of man's soul, as we say of man's intellect, but it starts in the soul. We are going to leave from the shams in a few minutes. Resurrection, rebirth, illumination of man's soul. The illumination of man's soul. And with the illumination of his soul, he comes into a new life. He has a new birth, a rebirth. This rebirth is also a sign and a likeness of the resurrection after we're dead. The belief that we actually physically die and have a rebirth or rise again, and that that life will be better than this, and that that life will be actually fuller than this life, meaning that we will have more of whatever we rejoice in that Allah approves. We'll have more of it in that life. Even our light of perception and understanding that we have now, it will be increased in that time. So whatever is said of that, then a likeness is on this side. Whatever it is that we think of that is promised us after the death of this body in the earth and the resurrection, that my soul be raised, whatever is promised for us in that paradise that we all hope for, we will earn the likeness of it on this side. And really, the use, benefits of knowledge. If we have some knowledge, we know, actually, the resurrection of the physical body that is dead for my individual soul. Wallace, we have no knowledge of it. Only God knows, because when that is the question, the reply is that no one has seen that. No one knows what Allah has planned for him. But why all these descriptions? These descriptions are to make us appreciate what God will do for us in this life, on this earth. Let me open your mic, Mahasan. Praise be to Allah. Okay. And in case you want to lend commentary to what we shared thus far, and we invite the listening audience to press one on your phone and share what Allah blessed you with from out of this wonderful sharing of Imam Muhammad for Ramadan. We shall pause now for some important public service announcements, and we ask you, don't touch the dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Praise be to Almighty God, and we are back. So,
yes.
Yes, ma'am, please share.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you again for creating such a fluid environment for our connection, the intellect operating and being inspired by the Kareem. It's really creating an energy here that we're feeling. What it reminded me about when you talked about the illumination of man's soul, right? And that the first invasion was his private life, right? And the second invasion was the one that takes away from us the tangible things or expression of
no,
the private.
No, a tangible was first, and then our inner sanctum was second. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Please.
Right. But understand the order I'm putting it in, because initially it talks about that recall that their enemy invaded first their private life, and then he took away from the tangible things. Yes. Okay. So you know what it reminded me of is the story and history of the Native Americans, those we call Native Americans. And thinking back on the history of the arrival in the quote-unquote New World of the Europeans who were sent to establish and make a livable place out of whatever they discovered. First thing that they discovered, of course, was the private of the Native American. And the Native American, in their most human, hospitable nature, welcomed this and provided for them as newcomers. Okay? As they became familiar with the newcomers, and the newcomers observed and strategized about who the Native Americans were and what it was that they were in charge of, or khalifas were, the natural world here in America, they devised ways to take away the tangible thing, not only their possessions, but to affect the environment that they had protected. The Native Americans had been the protectors of this new world for centuries. They had preserved it in its natural state for all who come to take advantage of or to enjoy. And that had been the process of all those who were the first indigenous inhabitants of unexplored lands, not uninhabited, but unexplored lands. Well, I'm going to stop right there. Please continue.
Now, thank you. Yes,
the resurrection.
That is an excellent example. And I recently watched a short story of how the Native Americans, yes, they lost the land. Their food source was killed off from them, a buffalo. Their way of life had been altered. The second concern, especially Sitting Bull, was very concerned about them losing their inner self, for they had constructed retraining schools to make them into European thought, to take European thinking and supplant that with their own original thinking, their connection with the earth, and all with that. That was a major struggle there, to keep hold of their soul. And likewise with us, the same thing. I watched another documentary this morning on the Africans that had come to this region of the earth long before Columbus, and that many of them that were captured were scholars, scientists, astronomers, doctors, educators. And after having got here, they separated the children from the adults so they could not pass that knowledge on to them. And some of that yet dwells in our soul. Some of that yet dwells in our soul. The question is asked, why do they behave like that? They must have a mental problem. No, it's a problem of the soul. So in light of that, that is, as I stated, it is very congruent with what Luke Princess Aziz shared with us on the previous program, that we should not call it mental illness, but a troubled soul. Praise be to Allah. I want to read further. The next subject matter, which is connected, is resurrection, rebirth, illumination of man's soul. The illumination of man's soul, and with the illumination of his soul, he comes into a new life. He has a new birth, a rebirth. This rebirth is also a sign and a likeness of the resurrection after we're dead. The belief that we actually physically die and have a rebirth arise again, and that that life will be better than this, and that that life will be actually fuller than this life, meaning that we will have more of whatever we rejoice in that Allah approves. We'll have more of it in that life. Even our light of perception and understanding that we have now, it will be increased in that time. So, whatever is said of that, then a likeness is on this side. Whatever it is that we can think of that is promised us after the death of this body in the earth and the resurrection, that my soul will be raised. Whatever is promised for us in that paradise that we all hope for, we will earn the likeness of it on this side. And really, the use, benefits of knowledge. If we have some knowledge, we know actually the resurrection of the physical body that is dead for my individual soul. Wallace, we have no knowledge of it. Only God knows, because when that is the question, the reply is that no one has seen that. No one knows what God has planned for him. But why all these descriptions? These descriptions are to make us appreciate what God will do for us in this life, on this earth, in the hereafter, family reunited. With that, I say, and this is not the first time, that we should love the promise of God, that when I put in a grave, that I still have hope of resurrection. And I do believe that I will have a resurrection, and I will have not only chance to have a wonderful existence for my own soul, but I will also have a chance to meet my loved ones again, a chance to meet the prophet himself and the best of his servants, companions of the prophet. We pray the prayers and the peace upon our prophet Muhammad. You see, that's a wonderful thing to anticipate. But for us to miss the promise of the resurrection of the intellect, the soul, the heart, and the potential in man, that it will now have its full, that is it. The potential in this man can only go so far without God's guidance. But with God's guidance, the potential in man is released, freed into a great dimension. Now, the fullest dimension is opened up for the potential. Now, man can have unlimited progress. There is no end to his progress in this life, on this earth, right now. I'm talking about we're alive now. That's what I'm talking about. I want to be perfectly clear. That is the second gift of his great mercy. And he said he created you for his mercy. Now, isn't that plain and understandable? Next subject matter. Men and jinn created for worship of Allah.
Imam Kareem?
Yes, ma'am. Please, go ahead.
Please excuse me, but I This brings something to my mind, a question that's been percolating over time, especially with the recent charge of advances, especially for the African-American population in restoring, being able to recapture credibility. He says, seek with all that I have given you of a spiritual growth, revelation, and content, the life of the hereafter, but don't forget your share in this life.
Alhamdulillah. Wonderful connection, my sister.
You know, it's something, and I've noticed in myself, just being honest with myself and trying to accept that encouragement that I have unlimited potential. You know, it's something when we have been captured or captivated in a limited perception of our own capabilities for so long, at such a stern rate, we wouldn't like to think that we've been converted to belief in those limitations, but an honest perusal of our mental status reveals to us there has been some artificial limitations imposed. In that I need to know what strategies I can use to overcome those limitations. So there are a lot of master classes, for instance, in the YouTube nowadays, and everybody seems to have been captured by this incentive that Imam Muhammad has been just diligent about sharing with the world this God potential for every human being, not just African American. They are prone to do right, that there is an unlimited resource and reward that awaits them, both here of their lives. They can pinch themselves and feel it. They can breathe, but even after, which is going to be of a greater amount. This is amazing, just amazing. And once we believe it, you say, if I can believe it, I can achieve it. The brother, Sharif, and his wife, who did the We Buy Black business and have experienced unattained so far aggression into the millions of dollars because of the options that they accepted to be challenged with to develop business on a larger scale. It reminds me of them and their efforts and their belief and their spirit, so that that will be true both in this life and inshallah in the next. I'll stop right
there. Alhamdulillah. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Praise be to Allah. There is a necessary ingredient for the full illumination, and the Imam mentioned it earlier. It is the Huda, the guidance. The guidance that returns us back to that state of paradise while we yet live on this side of reality. Praise Allah. So the Imam goes on further, and he says, men and jinn created for worship of Allah. It says, he didn't create us for, I'm hearing too much background noise, my house noise. What are you doing? Mahasa?
Yes. It's
I'm
so
going
interesting.
To mute your mic because we're hearing a lot of, I don't know whether it's water or, well, whatever, but praise be to Allah. I shall reopen your mic because I definitely enjoy your insights and your sharing. Praise be to Allah. The next subject matter is men and jinn created for worship of Allah. It says, He didn't create us for anything except for His mercy. Now, you know, Allah uses it also because it is just as important. One condition depends on the other. So it says that He didn't create you except for His service, except to obey Him, except to worship Him. Elalia Budun, devote ourselves to Him, that we will never come into that second portion of His mercy unless we be constantly persevering in our service to Allah as slaves or servants of Allah. And it's important to know that the concept of God that has assisted man in coming into that, mainly we get them really right in the chapter Al-Fatiha. Al-Fatiha is called the essence of the Quran, and it's also the key, the victory, the opening, the attributes of Rahman or Rahim, then the attribute Rabb. But before you read that, although we start with Al-Fatiha, it follows all throughout the Quran in every chapter except one, and it is given in the text of the chapter Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, with Allah's name, the Merciful, Compassionate, Merciful, Benefactor, Merciful Redeemer. Beneficent connects us or sends our minds to see, to recognize the merciful benefits that man found on this earth when he first opened his eyes, the tangible things that benefit that we can use, making utility of the order. God is merciful in providing that. Next subject matter, Jesus came to inherit the work of Father or Creator. And the reading goes further. Imam Muhammad said, and Rahim, when he loses that, he has a decline because of going to the wrong interest or exaggerating one's interest over another of lesser or more importance than that interest that he is exaggerating or devoting himself to. He loses the good life, and then Allah, if he earns repentance, he earns the favors of God by good or repentant nature. Then God gives him again. And when God gives him again, he enlightens him, brings about the dawning of enlightenment in him, in his soul. And then he knows God's will for him. He knows the direction for him. He knows his work on this earth, as it says of Jesus in the Christian religion, the Messiah, that he came to inherit the work of his Father. We know we do not accept that idea of Father. His Creator, that's the best language. He came to inherit the work of his Creator. What is that work? It is man's work on earth. Man's work on earth is not his work. Man's work on earth is the work of his Creator. His Creator wants him to fulfill his obligation to his Creator, Lord, and in the path and guidance that Allah provides. So if he follows the guidance and the path that Allah provides or shows him, guides him to, then he is going to realize his destiny and also fulfill his obligation to God. We see that on earth as great progress, great enlightenment, achievements for society or for man. This second portion of his mercy, then, enables man to realize the completion or fulfillment of his life that God intended for him. The world created for Muhammad. This is the next subject matter. Now, don't estimate the first mercy. The first mercy is so great that the Arabs, when they learned from the prophet the revelation and were guided by revelation and the prophet to understand the attribute of Ar-Rahman, they felt so much in love with God as Ar-Rahman. They started to call him Ar-Rahman. And here is another example of how God is so considerate of his creatures. When they did that, it came to the notice of the prophet and the believers. And obviously, some of them were concerned that here a habit is forming that they're calling Allah by or Rahman. And Allah says in the Quran, and you are familiar with it, he says, call on Ar-Rahman God. To God belongs all the beautiful names. Now look, Ar-Rahman is not given in the Quran in connection with the raising up of Prophet Muhammad for his mission. It's not given, but Ar-Rahman is. Allah created him, the prophet, but it is believed also by the learned in the religion that they got the guidance from the prophet that this creation was actually before the world itself. And the hint, the belief is that actually the world itself was created for Muhammad. We pause at this time if there's anyone that would like to lend commentary to what we've shared thus far. You're listening to the Contemplations of Imam Waris-ud-Din Muhammad, and we are utilizing a two-volume set of Ramadan sessions from our beloved Imam Waris-ud-Din Muhammad, sharing with us his innermost thoughts, his logic, his thinking, and the connection to Scripture and the life example of our Prophet Muhammad. We pray the prayers and the peace upon him. We shall pause at this time and share with you an important public service announcement. If there is anything that you would like to speak to or add to or suggest, we ask that you press 1 on your phone, and I will open up your mic. So we ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Inshallah, when I grow up, I'm going to join CWSC. I'm going to help remake the world for you and me. I'm going to be part of MCNRD and contribute my talent, my expertise. I'm going to apply for a CWSC scholarship someday in honor of a pioneer. I pray I grow up to be a leader, a strong woman, courageous with no fear. But until that day, I need you to stand in my place and be part of the group intellect until I can join the race. Visit cwsc.us because together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preacher Hadi, Director of CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory, with this important update. As a CWSC volunteer in the MCNRD directory, you are one of the most powerful tools to help community development. Our institutions are in need of your time, energy, and expertise to help fulfill the vision. Go to cwsc.us and register today. Your duty awaits your arrival. and we look forward to seeing you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. You know, the Prophet Muhammad is just described by Allah as a mercy to the whole world, as a mercy to the world. And Allah created us to so that he could employ his mercy upon us, upon us. Allah is all, he is all merciful. It is never, it is not Allah's wish to cause us any discomfort or any harm, but to share his mercy with us. And the Prophet Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him, is the most excellent example for any who believe in Allah and the last day. So the purpose of bringing Adam, the first prototype of the human being, into existence was to reach the finalization of Muhammad. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. Praise be to Allah. That the world itself was created for, to bring about Muhammad. We pray the prayers and the peace upon him. The Imam moves further in this subject matter. Do not dwell on mystery too much. Muhammad, here, the prophet, is himself a sign and mystery. And I don't believe that the prophet would favor the mystics who have dwelled on that and just carried that into, made it a part of teaching, learning, and even their devotion over the believers that have insisted upon the prophet being established as a mortal with a message for us in this life that earns us the next life. I want to make sure we know we're not to indulge in mystery too much, but it's beautiful. And all of us love the beauty of the mystic, of the revelation Quran. The Quran has its own mystery, and it has great beauty in it, and it makes you become a lover of it. So if you are not careful, you will do like the airplane, the bird does, just like the pilot too. Do that, and there is no telling where you'll end up. What the Imam is referring to here is those that leave the material reality. They leave the material reality, and they want to exist in a heavenly atmosphere of spirituality. The Sufis are a part of that movement. You know, I like the poetry of Ghazali. Beautiful, beautiful poetry. Ghazali was from the Sufi strain of Al-Islam. But as our sister Mohassan shared with us just a few moments ago, Allah instructs us, seek by the means available to you the home and the hereafter, but do not neglect your share of this material world. Praise be to Allah. So we do not want to dwell on mystery too much. Praise be to Allah. Okay. So we have to caution ourselves. I have to caution myself, because before I know anything, I'm just all engrossed in the beauty of the revelation, its mystery, and its beauty. Greatness and science came after the Quran was revealed. So this is more. Now, you know, we don't come into the great vision of how we should utilize the graces of God on this earth for us without revelation, right?
You can't get it without revelation. The ones who are leading this world now are the people of the book, right? At one time, it looked like the communists were going to lead the world, but they have already finished their course. It's all over, and the people of the book are still leading this world. Real enlightenment started because of the people of the book, the Quran, really, because of the prophet, and before the prophet, it was also the people of the book. You know what they call the ancient sciences, Greek knowledge, and all of that? The science and its development on the continent of Africa, that was nothing compared to what have come after the Quran. We talk about it as great, but it wasn't that great. Let me say this. The Imam is speaking of the Greek civilization. A lot of people look back at that as a great achievement, the Greek civilization. But they lost it. And let me say this. We know that after the coming of the Quran produced Islamic thinkers, Islamic scholars, Islamic educators. They revisited what was called Greek knowledge. They removed those things that were not grounded in reality, and they replaced them with the reality that they had been introduced to from the revelation of the Quran. And that is what brought mankind from out of what we commonly call the Dark Ages, the period of ignorance and superstition and man's savagery. It was the revealed word of Almighty God that saved man from that condition of being ignorant, superstition, and all that comes with that. Praise be to Allah. This is historical fact that it is, that it was and is the reaching back of Islamic scholars making correction in Greek knowledge, and that benefited the whole world. Praise be to Allah. You know, one sign of it is that Greek numeral figures are X's, D's, and L's. You will not do any intricate computing using that system of mathematics. Whether we know it or not, the numeral system that we use now, they are called Arabic numeral. The Arabic numeral system, which frees man, allowed man to reach very high heights in analytical thinking, in scientific projects. It was the Arabic numeral. And where did that come from? It came from the Islamic scholars that revisited the old knowledge and revised it and brought the human being forward. Praise be to Allah. Mohammed, I don't know what you were doing, but I'm hearing a lot of background noise. But that's okay. We can work on that.
I'm really, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you.
All right. So what's mysterious to me is it, as I sit here perfectly still, you are able to hear something. I don't know what it is because the only thing moving is my head.
I don't know. Well, you know, using this.
But what I want to say is that Allah's in charge of everything. I have no idea where it's coming from, but as long as it doesn't interrupt us and our kind listeners, from gaining the knowledge, information, and enjoyment that they are seeking through this programming on AM 360, then we will persevere beyond the distraction of the noise.
Yeah, we'll work around it. We are, you know, we are very crazy to a lot.
When you come across,
oh, yeah,
and you say, Brother Kareem, when you come across, okay, I'm going to mute your mic. I'm just, my eyeballs are looking around. There's nothing moving. There's nothing.
Yes, ma'am. I understand. I believe you me. I understand. For real. For real.
So
this,
I'm not,
this technology I'm not, has many glitches. You know, they have many glitches. So we'll be all right. Allah
yes.
is with us. He is so
yes.
supporting what we are doing at this time.
So
praise be to Allah.
I wanted to confirm your excellent analysis. What I consider to be excellent, and your thinking as you talk about what the Imam Muhammad said in the greatness in science came after the Quran. You know, there's been a resurgence recently in the celebration and appreciation of the ancient African, quote unquote, sciences, right? Pre-Quranic, and all of the discovery and advancement that had come about in those early ancient civilizations. But the reality of it is as Imam Muhammad said, say it's all over, and the people of the book are leading this world. Real enlightenment started because the people of the book, the Quran, really, because of the prophet. And before the prophet, it was also the people of the book. And when we talk about people of the book, we mean those to whom Allah confirmed revelation directly, Jews and the Christians and their books. You know, he says what they call ancient sciences, Greek knowledge, and all that, the science and its development on the continent of Africa, that was nothing compared to what we have after the Quran. We talk about it as great, but it wasn't that great. But what Prophet Muhammad attested to and Imam Muhammad reinforced was the presence of mind, thinking, and intellectual capacity in the presence of the empires and the tribal communities in terms of intellectual capacity that Allah gave them, such that when the revolution came, my mother used to have this phrase, we have to put two and two together. The intellectual capacity, especially of the ancient African civilization, had a special intellectual capacity that could put two and two together with the revelation, and it resulted in the excellence and the preparation for what we were taken through in enslavement. If it had not been for the of the mind of those who were captives, make them enslaved, their ability to reason, to rational, to make connections and utilize knowledge, we never would have survived slavery. But it was the great
love. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Okay, we have a caller on the line. I think this may be loud. I'm not sure.
Erico 7408.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the conversation
of
Islam.
Warahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's Bilal from New Orleans, Louisiana. Thank you to Allah for this day. And we pray Allah that we remain safe in our thoughts and in our actions. We know what kind of environment we're living in. So we got to recreate an environment for our own self that will be very profitable for mankind. So praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. There's something I would like to share. A witness bearer, 2 plus 2 together make life better. Reformation.
Your
life
volume
evolved.
Is very low, Bilal. If you could speak up a little louder.
Let me see. Okay. How's that sound now?
Much better.
Yeah.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Okay. This is all I got now. I'm going to try to give it. Alhamdulillah. Reformation for the life of all people. The wise, sincere servant of God is responsible. Appreciating their creator. Obeying what they are told. They feel accountable. Helping man lighten his load. Being complete as an individual, knowing their potential, accepting his destiny, which is global. Selfishness is an enemy to God consciousness. Human passion to destroy man, driving him insane. Righteousness is an inherent quality you are born with. Sincerity and humility brings profit. Following our lead is indeed a benefit. Prophet Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, said, one who guides someone to a good deed, he will get the reward equal to one who acts upon it. You should help one who is in trouble, regardless whether he is a Muslim or not. And believe me, Allah loves that a lot. This is an I moment right here. How am I a mercy? Because I desire to help, give what people need, seek of truth, sharing revelation is what I must do. No more alcohol and drugs. Only God I want to totally trust. I am not that tough, and I don't believe in luck. But I have given me more than enough. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, Bilal. Thank you, my beloved brother. Praise be to Allah. In reference to what came before, Imam Muhammad said, you know what they call the ancient sciences, Greek knowledge, and all of that? The science and its development on the continent of Africa, that was nothing compared to what we have after the Quran. We talk about it as great, but it wasn't that great. The real greatness didn't come until after Quran. The opening of the door for science came after the Quran. They had some medicine and stuff like that, but all that could be called just tribal medicine. Even the great civilizations of Greece and Africa and Asia before, what they had, we could all call it just traditional medicine. They never came into what we have now. This never happened before, and it's because of the Quran. It brought about this dawning, this awakening, this transformation. Let me say this. You know, we speak of the Quran, and we refer to good behavior, good morals, don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, and we revel in that. But there is an equal, praise be to Allah, there is an equal gift. It is education. Revelation from God is no more than education for the human being. Allah is educating us. It's educating man through the revelation. That is its purpose, to educate man, to bring him from out of darkness into light, from out of ignorance into education. We study the Quran not just to know how to actually be good. There have always been in the human being people that were good people, good morals, good people. But along with that, one of the greatest gifts was education, leading man to the inner content of the creation and the many benefits found there. for human beings. So I just wanted to say that because, as the of ma'am mentioned earlier, that we can get caught up in the wonderful beauty of the revelation of Quran and miss the educational component, the distribution of pure science, of the pure knowledge and sciences. So it is two mercies also, man's human behavior, and it opened up Allah's greatest gift to the human being, that is his akal, his brain. And now we are experiencing the blessings of that. I'd much rather be living in this time than the time before the coming of the Quran. They rode horses and oxen. There was no refrigeration. You could just go on and on. They lit their home with candles and oil. But now we just flip a switch, boy, and there's beautiful light. We no longer have to ride beasts to get from one area to the other. We have transportation that have cut the time of travel well beyond half. I'm grateful that we have cars and trains and planes, but these only came after the revelation of the Quran. So as we read the Quran, yes, we want to also be in search of knowledge, of education, of science. It is not just a good book as you sit you're good, but you are sitting in the dark, in poverty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it is after the Quran. So I'm placing the emphasis there. So as the Imam said, don't get so caught up in how, and it is beautiful. The poetic sound of the Quran is beautiful, and we are grateful for that. But also, it is educating. Praise be to Allah. They never came into what we have now. I'm reading from the Ramadan session once again. The real greatness didn't come until after Quran. The opening of the door for science came after the Quran. They had some medicine and stuff like that, but all that could be just called tribal medicine. Even the great civilizations of Greece and Africa and Asia, before what they had, we could all just call it traditional medicine. They never came into what we have now. This never happened before, and it is because of the Quran. It brought about this dawning, this awakening, the transformation. Actually, it brought a transformation, a transition in the life of man, in his soul, his intellect, a whole transition in the life of man. And it is another life. Those people were living back there, but were they living like this? No. You look at their life and our life, and we have another life. And there are many of us, most of us, we have their life. We have no awareness of the great transition in the life for man that brings him from the animal level. Now I'm not saying those people were animals. In their human sensitivity, they were human. But in their intellect, they were still animals, just rational animals. Their progress was limited to the progress of animals. Look at a bee, a wasp. They make fancy homes and stuff. And when you study them, you almost want to say, those people were scientific, right? They were so accurate in their artwork, so beautiful and architectural. Look at the Aztecs and see how they made pathways and everything, how they operated, how their work was planned, and how their home life was planned, and say they must have had science, but they didn't have any science. Oh, boy. They must be able to reason. No, they can't reason. Though man make these free independent choices, this level of elevation was still, and he was on the animal level. And animals are good and bad, kind and cruel. We have all kinds of animals, clean, virtuous, and filthy. All kinds of animals, and they're tough, and they can defeat, conquer. They didn't have what came with Quran, the lion. They call him the king. He's so bad in his territory, he's got the title, the king of the jungle. And he's so social and organized in everything. He looks like he's planning everything. He walks out so cool, observing his territory that he dominates. He looks like he's the king, a real man with a thinking brain in his head, but he is not. So it goes for Genghis Khan and all those people back then. They didn't have what came with the Quran. This tells us that this is the second portion of the mercy that man has. Actually, another existence, another creation, and that creation brings about the environment for another life. First, the clothing of the earth, then Nafatah, the second one. This is said for man, but you must understand that this one is realized for man in the environment. The second one is on him too. Form two, because what we develop in the environment, we take on a new dress too. With what we develop out of the earth, we develop sciences and dress the earth again. And we are included in the address. It talks about us, but actually this second one is the dressing by science. The dressing that we realize by science dresses the whole earth with a new look. We also are giving Duma Khalakhan Akhar. I know it's talking about the Quran. I'm not saying it's not, but how much do we know of that? Less than we know of the Ruh of Allah. And Allah says of the Ruh, they know but little. Now, Khalakhan Akhar comes from the seven stages given in the Quran, from the tin, the clay, or from dead matter to a living germ, then to a more developed fetus, then to a delivered life from the womb, complete with fresh, with flesh on its bones and everything. Then God said, Thumma, Ansha Nahu Kalakan Akhar. Then he's given another creation. How is he given? By mastery. This is by scientific enlightenment that makes possible that Kalakan Akhar, the opening of the second door to man. Using scientific now, for want of a better term, because what we have realized, we call scientific development. But actually, the word is more than science for us. It means the blessing of the opening of the second door to man, or Rahmah, the second mercy to man. Look at the word that's used, It means it follows. It means it follows it, connects directly. This happened. And then the second thing that happened is directly behind the thing that is before it. But when you say Thumma, it means there's a time. This may be interrupted. What happened? It may start here. But there may be a time period or lapse or interruption. But it will eventually come. So this Thumma is a long span between what is promised and the fulfillment of that, or the hope and realization, a long time between the two. Here we are talking about the finishing of man in his first life and then the giving of the blessing of the second. So it does not come immediately after he has been given the first. It's not a smooth or continuous regular progression or movement. They hadn't been given Khalaqa Anha. So for a time, man was in his first state, wasn't he, in history? But when the Quran comes and he comes into the second state, we speak of the Muslims reviving the sciences of the Greeks. But believe me, the Greeks too never came into what the Quran had. They never had anything to be compared with the enlightenment of the Quran, with the enlightenment the Quran had for us. I do believe some of them were inspired, but when you study the great Greek heroes, philosophers, they were men discussing human nature, and they were not really men that had received revelation from God. They were men just inspired by God's creation. The possibilities for man and the attributes of man inspired them, and they reasoned that man is a higher creation than the animals. They came into a great knowledge, but we can't actually compare that in any way with the illumination that the Quran has. They built great cities, and on the continent of Africa, pyramids and all that. And when you study some of those pharaohs, leaders of the dynasties of the Egyptians, some of those men stand out too as men who were turned on to a human appreciation of the human being. It says that even one of them came into the idea of one God, and that he actually established in his life the belief in one God. We know they developed great science. All you have to is go over there now, and you can see. But their sciences were chemistry and physics, not energy and technology. Let me read that again. But their sciences were chemistry, not physics, not energy and technology. So they just had great intellectual muscle and great human sensitivities, but they hadn't been given Khalaqan Akhar. Don't let tapes out into the public. Okay, this is the Imam's cleverness. Khalaqan comes with the new created man, Muhammad, and it comes with him, Ma'ahu. I hope you all don't let these tapes get out from you. I'm very serious. The sun, a great producer for man as a symbol in his first state. The belief, ma'am.
Walaikum assalam. You are providing us, I must say, with such a delicious feast of understanding and knowledge, understanding, and thereby the result of that is properly used, the wisdom of the operational procedure and value. That's what we see here. This is amazing information that Allah Messy Man Muhammad with the insight, the interpretation to give to us. And he even says here, he says, don't let take these tapes out into the public. What he's saying is that I hope you all don't let these tapes get out from you. I'm very serious. Before we have had the ability to study and
praise
maximize.
Boy, you hit this one. Praise the Lord, Muhammad. Go ahead.
Study and maximize the value and the impact that Allah has selected us. I'm not trying to pop my collar or pat ourselves on the back. I'm saying that Allah took us through the challenges and the tests that would warrant him making, giving, and completing such an excellence for the good of humanity. He didn't say it was just for us. But Imam Muhammad warns, he said, study this. Don't just pass it out or set up your vending table and sell for the nominal fees that you can receive. Know that it's far more serious than that. This is amazing. Just this one sentence here. Khalkhan comes with the new created man, Muhammad, and it comes with him, Ma'ahu. This is beautiful. Reminds me of the serious work that Imam Benjamin Bilal is doing in his establishment of linguistics process call. He calls it nunetics. And the combination of epistemology word origin, which Imam Muhammad asked us to study at the beginning of his transformative leadership. We have to know the origin of words, the use and their meaning, in order to be full effect of words making people. We're talking about making. We're talking about the khalqan, that type of making that only Allah can do for us. I'm just think about it. You reminded me of George Washington Carver and Louis Latimer, two of our great inventors and contributors by virtue of the akal that gave them to the advancement of the human being. George Washington Carver, after he was retrieved from being lost from his mother by slave drivers who captured her, right? He never saw her again. He was a young child. He was a preschooler. At the age of 4, he used to be drawn by Allah to get up early and go and walk in the woods. His foster care mother, that is the wife of his slave owner, nurtured him because he was frail in him and didn't allow him to be put to work in the field. He encouraged him to go close to nature, to study the nature, and he used to take walks at 5 years old in the woods around his home. He said, and the ants talked to him, the grasshoppers talked to him, the flowers talked to him and gave him the science of their colors. They talked to him, the trees and the plants, and they educated him by leave of Allah because of this Khalqan that you're talking about. Louis Latimer was a servant of the great Edison, who everybody thinks invented the light bulb. Edison reached where he could not go any further. And Louis Latimer, who was his assistant, was given the intuitive and the illumination edge to see that while Edison could not get the filament to sustain light over time, it would come on and then it would wane and wear out. And Allah gave Louis Latimer the insight and the understanding of creating that, what you were talking about, the switch that flipped, how to do it so that he could make a connection between the electric current and the wires that were used in a manner to sustain the light over time. And you could control its illumination and its going dark by flipping a switch. Louis Latimer did that. He was blessed to do that. So I'm going to stop right there because, you know, I will say unapologetically, I am lit up. Thank you. Thank you.
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. That is the enlightened soul. That is the enlightened soul. Praise be to Allah. Yes, ma'am. Okay, the imam goes further. He says, the sun, the great producer for man, as a symbol in his first state. The belief in the sun as a symbol for man is perhaps the greatest producer for man in his first state. The sun as a symbol for man. I don't know of any other idea of God that produced more. You know those great Egyptians. They believed that the great God for them was Horus. Horus, the eye of the sun. I do believe we get the word fury, which means free, from that. And we are told in the Nation of Islam, the sun was the sign of freedom. I believe Mr. Farrar was just interpreting it from ancient language. And the Persians, they had a great civilization. How did they see God? As fire, that is Zoroastrian. How did they see God? As fire, the greatest fire, the sun. And we can just go on and look at the myth around the planet to see that no concept in mythology was more productive for them than the concept of God as the sun. I believe those ancient people were just believing just in that sun, but they saw that sun as a symbol. If I'm correct, the body of Osiris is the body of light in Greek, Egyptian mythology, and his actual body was light. We know that the thing that brought about the end of Osiris, as the light was the people, was his own daughter. She became a snake. Next subject matter, Muhammad came as the liberator to take the yoke off of man. They would say, he defeated Osiris. She killed him in crossing his path. She put out his life, and he was rendered dead. They took his body, cut it up, and put it in different places, scattered it all about, so nobody would be able to find the light again. This is the Egyptian mythology of Osiris. He himself, his body, was the light of the world. Then they came up with the idea of Jesus as the light of the world. He is the Son of Man. And then Allah tells us of Muhammad that he is the promised liberator. This is the promised one in Scripture of the people of the book. Not in the mythology, because there's a progression from these ideas for the people of the book. Those people were brought into their understanding upon the appreciation for the excellence of man, his human sensitivity, and the muscle of intellect. But the people of the book, they had received revelation, guidance, that was intended to bring them into just what we came into with the Quran and Prophet Muhammad. that was intended for them, but they missed it. It was intended for them, but not to be completed on man until Muhammad. Allah tells us of Muhammad, he is the liberator. He takes the yokes off of man. Now, you know these yokes don't mean physical yokes. He came with the Quran from God in the state where slavery was a good thing at that time. Real slavery was ended by the prophet. There was no more real slavery anymore. All generations before Muhammad in bondage of the enemy, the Imam of Sharon, all generations before Muhammad in bondage of the intellect. The real bondage is the bondage of man's intellect. So the greater liberation is the liberation of man's intellect. And I would say that all generations before Muhammad, they were in bondage. And the chains, shackles, yokes of bondage were the darkness. Then the nur, the light, and the shackle were removed. And Allah makes it plain. He says, heavy yokes. He will remove the heavy yokes from them. It wasn't any light yoke. Physical bondage is a light yoke, but the mental bondage is a heavy yoke. After we come into the understanding and look at the two forms of slavery, the mental slavery is much more punishing and a much more burdensome thing on man than physical slavery. Because man, in physical slavery, they progress more after slavery than they did before. Got into good situations, got close to a man of knowledge. And the slave, he started learning to read and got him a profession while he was a slave, just from being in a better environment. The Quran became the brightest light in the world for man. And they follow the light that came down, ma'ahu. This food means with. Came down, ma'ahu. With the inspiration, you see, came down with the inspiration means the inspiration. But God leads you, right? And Allah, he doesn't mention inspiration. He mentions Muhammad. So most of the translators, commentary, don't want to deal with that too much, this who, because they suspect that the most important thing is the inspiration. And they don't want too much attention on Muhammad, afraid that people might go to an extreme of worshiping Muhammad. But what we should understand is that the most important thing is the inspiration, ma'ahu, that God gave him by the angel Jibril, by the medium Jibril, but also the light that came down, ma'ahu, inspiration. How does the inspiration materialize? The Quran. When we look at it like this, or when we hear with nothing but this ear, the outer ear, the Quran is just like a gross body, isn't it? A beautiful, wonderful, gross body. The great light comes with guidance for the intellect. When the intellect is guided to enter the Quran or to delve into the Quran, comes with guidance for the intellect. When the intellect is guided to enter the Quran or to delve into the Quran, that's when the Quran itself is translated out of a gross body into an illuminated body. And not that it is shining without that illumination. It's shining somewhere in the process, glowing without that, like gross bodies will do. They glow without fire. Precious metals glow without fire. Many other things have to glow without fire. So this Quran will glow without enlightenment. But with enlightenment, it lights the world, becomes the brightest light in the world for man. Muhammad created has the potential to take man to the destiny. Oh, I see we have a caller on the line. Let me answer this raised hand. I believe it is Bilal once more. Here it goes, 727-408. As-salamu alaykum, Bilal.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Praise be to Allah. No, y'all, you and Mahasin, y'all take my little points and y'all eat them up. Let me try something else.
We can hardly hear you, Bilal. We can hardly hear you,
myself. You can hear me now?
Yes, that's Denver.
Okay, alhamdulillah. That's me. That's me with this song. Here we go. This is for a Sunday and the people in the mega churches. This is for them. Spiritual stimulation. That's a lot of conversation. Let's build out the most needed institution. Isn't that the logical conclusion? The Quran, the correction of scripture, power, salvation, rational leadership, the proper worship. A world lost from the guidance that is in their nature, constantly denying God's favor. Prophets and messengers came. Most of the people got worse or remained the same. So-called preachers, ambitious, still playing games. Mega churches, tempting and hustling the mentally, intellectually, and economically insane. Got them dancing to the band. Tired and more tired. A lot of deception and lies. People money going by. Economic suicide. And these are things that goes on. And I turn you have that little group on there. And they just be doing it to the people. And the people, these people got big money. Well, these not the poor and our associates and not just black people. And what it is, they just pimping them. They're pimping them on what is good or should be good in their religion by giving tithes. And it's ridiculous. So praise be to Allah that we pray Allah that they can get out of that state of mind they are in and come over here where he at and then enjoy it. And see that their money is being productively taken care of. Let me tell you something. I got to repeat this. The worker, the host in the hostess of A360, I don't think he really know who they are. They are very special people.
Please
you hear me?
Get closer to the mic.
You know what else? I done messed this form up, and I don't know. So let me give you the bottom line. Let's have more respect for the hosts and hostess in real life. Those are the teachers. Those are the mentors. And our lives, allowing them to design, to get on the path that he had designed for us for planning our life right here on earth. And it's a benefit. Let me tell you something. Imam Benjamin Bilal. He was on this program with Brother Michael. Brother Michael was on this program, right? And he was talking about these books. It was the Follow the Leader with the name of the program. And he said he heard many of Imam Muhammad tapes, and he'd been there. And he said he never heard nothing like what he get from them books. And also Imam Yusuf Ramadan, I remember on this program, and I mentioned something. And he said I never heard Imam Muhammad say nothing like that. This is the direction. This is the show that got it going on. We pray out loud that more come on the show. Propagate the show to people. You know, I'm putting it out. That's what I'm making. Thank you.
Praise be to Allah. You know what is... Go ahead, Mahasa, please.
I'm going to say we call you, you know, we say, walaikum as-salam, my love. With such a...
My beloved.
Beloved, yeah.
Because you know what is beloved, and I have, as we work on this joint project of publishing your beautiful poems in a manner where they can be received.
Allah, may Allah bless you, Mahatma.
Inshallah. I think we found the title for the book of poetry. And if that we could entitle it, it would be called "And They Followed the Light That Came Down Ma'ahu."
With me.
See, that, Mahasa, that's all yours. And, you know, enjoy yourself. That's all yours. And believe me. Yeah, that's all yours, Mahasa. Pray be to Allah.
But you're an example of what Imam Kareem has been reading and emphasizing for us, that we're talking about a special type of inspiration that can only come down because of Allah. And Allah leaves a special type of inspiration that brings special illumination. And you're gifted, you have been gifted with the capacity of shining a light, opening up an intellect, opening an operation of a very valuable component of the human being, which is the aqal, the intellect, with your words. It's such a special gift that you've been given, and many others who have been inspired with the gift of poetry.
This is W.D. Muhammad. That's him. That's it. I get everything from Ronald B. Shaheed's book about Imam Muhammad. That's what I'm getting everything from.
Okay, I'm going to open up another caller that has raised their hand.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't want them to leave. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Bilal. Air code 301-598. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Debbie.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sister Debbie.
I'm enjoying both of you right now.
Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar, God is great. God is great.
Many don't know Sister Debbie. She sounds a little mysterious because she is so familiar with supporting the broadcasting reach of AM60. In fact, I'm going to out her for a brief minute that she is a blessing, a person of the book, a committed Christian, who has found an additional identity in the revelation of Quran, which says and verifies has illuminated her Christian faith. Debbie, would you like to say any more on that?
Well, you said it so beautifully, it's just been amazing. 10 years ago, I was at a comedy club, and I heard a really awful, horrible joke about Muslims. And I didn't understand because I felt like, well, I'd never met a Muslim. The comedian didn't ever met a Muslim, probably. And I talked to the management. Well, the management said there was nothing they could do, and I thought, that's it. Okay, well, I've done my best. And then I was driving in an area that I'd never been in before where I saw the Muslim Community Center. And I thought, here's a chance to educate myself. So I went in, spent 2 hours talking to the imam. He gave me the Quran. I read it in 2 weeks. I was determined to get through it. And I thought, but I was blessed with this feeling of wanting to help Muslims and establish who they really are and not the negative feedback from 9/11. And so that's what I've been doing for 10 years. And I was a volunteer there at the community center. I taught English. Conversational English to people that never had spoken English before. And Allah blessed me with such good friends on AM360 as well, good brothers and sisters like Mahasin.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you, Debbie. And
Debbie,
we wish
interfaith ambassador. She is a wonderful example of interfaith dialogue. Praise you to Almighty God. Yes.
Mashallah.
And it's the unity of the Abrahamic faith that Allah has placed at the root of current day enlightenment. This is as we were experiencing what took place in Europe after the Dark Ages were pierced and enlightened by the revelation of Quran, carried to them by the Muslims who made it their duty and obligation under the leadership of Prophet to reduce oppression in the world, oppression of the human spirit, to free the intellect of the human spirit so that it could survive and thrive in the manner that Allah created for it to operate. And we see that out of the medieval dark ages of the European history emerged the era of enlightenment. It was during that period of evolution.
Well, we got about 3 minutes left of broadcast time.
Let me take 30 seconds of that then. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Kareem. That out of that enlightenment period happening during the time of the establishment of America and its constitution and its framework of democracy and its, what do we call, atmosphere for emancipation of the human being, that wisdom of the Quran was shared. In fact, Thomas Jefferson, our first president, he purchased volume copy of leather-bound Quran when he was in Europe talking with the philosophers for the basis of our Constitution. Now, go to YouTube, go to Google, Google it, as we say, and get in touch with that very real history. And then somebody teach it in Florida, because I'm sorry, but it appears that they just don't know the history of the United States of America.
Alhamdulillah. So we are grateful for your presence here on this platform, Sister Debbie. You know, you are an inspiration to us, and that we are all operating under the same system. Well, I've been informed we got 90 seconds of broadcast time left.
Mashallah,
mashallah. Yes, inshallah, we shall continue this next week, sharing from the Ramadan sessions of Imam Wajidi Muhammad, sharing with the world his intellect, his contemplations, his thinking, his life. We are grateful to everyone that attend these sessions. It is important that we share the knowledge that was shared with us. Praise be to Allah. I believe we got about 60 seconds left of broadcast time, and I will try to utilize some of the grace period to share more of the intellectual thinking of our beloved Imam Wajidi Muhammad, inshallah. I hope we don't run out of grace time, but we hope to end it before it cuts us off abruptly. Praise be to Allah. So the next subject matter is Muhammad created as the potential to take man to the destiny. I believe that this is saying to us that Muhammad was created himself as the potential of man that will take man. When that potential is released or revealed or freed, will take man to his destiny. And that is life also. Allah speaks of him as a light, broadcasting its light. Speaks of him as a light, broadcasting his light. So Allah has given this description of the prophet, Surajam Muniran, Allah has given this description of him. I don't want to get back into that wrong concept, back into the ignorance or mistakes of the past. But it says, Sirajam, Munira, a light, a lamp, broadcasting, sending out light, sending out broadcasting light. The learned think when the Quran came. Don't you know there were men back there who knew of the ancient wisdom, and they were priding themselves in being an evolution of man above the ones that didn't know it. They thought they had already made a transition, that evolution. Should God come and knock down, deal a cruel blow to their ego, and just disregard everything that they had taken so much pride in? No. God respected them by giving something similar, and they were wise enough to know, yes, God is there. Then when they see where God is leading them, oh, they love Allah so much, they say, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman, the same God that showed us that before. Look at what he has done now, Ar-Rahman. And they say, what is this? These believers are saying, Ar-Rahman. And Allah revealed to the prophet, call on him by Ar-Rahman or by any other name. To God belong the most beautiful and most excellent names and the light that came down with him. Here, Prophet Muhammad is given to us insight that he is an illuminated body, the Quran, the revelation, the inspiration in him. And because it's in him, he knows the Surajam Muniran, the illuminated body, coming down from the high heaven back on earth where he began, the same man, same martyr, that had a life before, and it was beautiful and great, wasn't it, before? And I'm sure it was for that great ancient ruler of ancient Egypt that came to realize that God must be one. And it made a law for this rule, kingdom, that the people worship only the one God. Okay, I think we should end it here. And Mohassan, we look forward to your sharing, inshallah, next Sunday evening on the contemplations of Imam Wazirdin Muhammad. We are definitely grateful for your insights that you share with us from out of the inside of Imam Wazirdin Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. So, praise to Allah, we invite your friends, especially Muslims. This board should be full of Muslims, you know. Praise be to Allah. But Allah knows and we know not. And we should remain grateful and thankful for what Allah has done for us, what he is doing for us, and what he shall do. Allah promises us that mankind will return back to that condition, that environment, that presence called paradise. Praise be to you. So we came to you this evening with the greetings of peace. We leave you this evening with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, remain forever grateful and regardful of Allah, keep up our prayers, and remain forever grateful and thankful. Allah asks of the whole of humanity. The Quran was revealed as a mercy to the whole world. Allah asks of humanity. Fabi Ayi Allah Irabikumba to Kathy Bann. Listen to this, Mahasa. Which of the two favors of your Lord will you deny? Praise be to Allah. So I bring you now the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatim. We got to be back.
Early in the morning, sail and prayer, Milton's fresh brew coffee as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls in keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be
grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends of love forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy who lives down the street who wants to grow to be a man, but life is rough and the streets are tough and he tries to understand. He said, "Mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand?" Well, I think about the days gone by and think my daddy's dead, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, "You gotta be alright, you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Back to Cubs, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who are fighting for a land, trying to make a difference for their fellow. But they gotta be alright, they gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
they gotta be grateful for delight for the warm rays of sunshine. Longer by the night, friends are lost forever and their children and their wives. City gotta be thankful.
As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you once more, Mahasan Abdul Salam. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Wa alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah.